The Dodgers tied a franchise record this season with 106 wins, but it was not enough to catch the San Francisco Giants, who are your 2021 National League West champions for the first time since 2012. Truly an unbelievable accomplishment. And coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about the magnitude of what this team just accomplished on the last day of the regular season. And we're going to talk about the game itself that helped them clinch this division. Logan Webb was a hero in this game. The umpire didn't do them any favors. And then finally, we're going to preview what's to come for this team. The division series getting started on Friday. We don't know who they're going to play, but it'll be either the Dodgers or the Cardinals. So we'll break it all down on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, so check us out there. And coming up on today's show, guess what? We're going to talk about the Giants doing the impossible. They actually accomplished this unbelievable goal that they set for themselves in spring training. It took 107 wins to get here, and it took literally every single one to get to this point. It's an unreal accomplishment that I'm having trouble wrapping my head around still at this point. This is an accomplishment that we are going to look back on for years and decades to come, no matter what happens in the postseason. And I get it, there are going to be some postseason expectations. This is a team that has won multiple World Series in the recent past. So nobody's just happy with making the playoffs, but the magnitude of this accomplishment, given what preseason expectations were, and given what the Dodgers have done year after year after year, and given the talent that's on that Dodgers team, and given that, you know, the Dodgers, like I said in the open there, they tied a franchise record with 106 wins. It is not like they, you know, had a disappointing season, and that's how the Giants were able to pass them here. This is the most wins that Dodgers franchise has ever had, 106. And prior to yesterday, the most wins the Giants franchise dating back to 1883 had ever had was also 106 wins. But those records are the Giants, you know, have now won 107, and it happened in 2021. It happened with a team that was projected by major projection systems, and we came on and did shows about all these last year and this year. They were projected by Pecota, which everybody wants to talk about every year when they come out. And frankly, this year, I just thought they were not very good. And looking back on them, yeah, some of them are correct, but a lot of them are just very, very wrong. But anyway, the Giants were projected at 75 wins by Pecota. So they ended up winning 32 more games than their Pecota projection. And it's just a truly incredible accomplishment. I mean, the Dodgers, Pecota had projected for 103 wins, which is an amazing kind of preseason projection. Normally, projection systems are kind of conservative, and they don't, you know, it takes a lot to go right to win 103 games usually. So to be projected at 103 wins meant that the Dodgers just had unreal talent, and they did. And they had a great season, and they acquired Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, and those two helped the Dodgers. The Dodgers are like 43-12 or something since acquiring those two. I'll have to pull out what their actual record is, but the Dodgers had an unreal end to their season, and the Giants just kept pace the entire time. I mean, not just kept pace, but kept ahead of them. It's just unbelievable what this Giants team was able to accomplish. And so much of the credit, it's like top to bottom. And as I say that, I'm reminded, you know, there was a famous tweet. I'm not going to call anybody out here, but last season there was a tweet early in the year. Somebody said the Giants organization is a complete mess top to bottom. And I think that that was a dig at the front office. It was a dig at Gabe Kapler and obviously a dig at the players. But we on this show last year were saying that it's wrong, and I don't agree with that. And it was just a slow beginning. And sure enough, they ended up turning it around, and they looked like a good team down the stretch in the short 60-game season last year. And I had high expectations for this team in 2021, thinking that they would compete and be a solid, scrappy team. But nobody could have predicted 107 wins for the San Francisco Giants. It's truly, they're living in their like 100th percentile world. But anyway, you know, so much of the credit is top to bottom, like Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris and the entire front office for putting the pieces together, you know, finding players like Lamont Wade Jr., Mike Yastrzemski, Darren Ruff, Donovan Solano, Wilmer Flores, Kevin Gausman, Anthony DeSclafani. Like, they hit on so many of the players that they went out and have targeted over the years here. And to the coaching staff, and to Farhan Zaidi for hiring Gabe Kapler. And then Kapler has done such a good job. He's going to be the unanimous manager of the year in the National League, and he deserves it completely. And then the coaching staff he put together, the hitting coaches, like if you want to talk about how the Giants offense has become so good after they struggled for years and years there, and look at certain players like Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey and Brandon Belt for having kind of career type years in their mid 30s, look no further than the influence of the hitting coaches. And the preparation that they do every single day is second to none, in my opinion. And the preparation of their pinch hitters, they set a franchise record for pinch hit home runs in a season with 18. And Kapler actually said after the game that that was like one of his favorite things, because it demonstrates the unselfish nature of this team, because the guy's getting pinch hit four. It's not just the pitcher spot. They, you know, they'll take out Lamont Wade Jr. and put in Austin Slater, for example. And on Saturday, a game that the Giants lost, they did that, but Slater hit a home run, and that was number 18. And Lamont Wade Jr. has kind of earned playing time, and you know, you're taking him out in the middle of the game, meaning he's not going to hit later in the game. And so he could complain about that, but he doesn't. He's right there. It's a team-first mentality with this team, and again, that's a credit to the staff and the players for buying in. So no, this team is not a mess top to bottom. They are kind of the gold standard right now, top to bottom. Yes, there are some other quality organizations, but the Giants are right up there, and that has everything to do with how they were able to accomplish the impossible, win 107 games, win the National League West. It's just truly amazing. They needed every single one. It came down to the last day of the season, and man, the Giants had two opponents, by the way, on the last day of the season, the Padres and the home plate umpire. So we'll get into the game itself, Logan Webb's heroics, Buster Posey with one of the biggest hits of his career, and everything else that went on this game. So that is all coming up next. But first, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirectTV.com. That's DirectTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Hey, Giants fans. This is Ben Caspick with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code BASEBALL. All right, as promised, we're going to talk about how the West was won, how the Giants were able to win this game 162, feeling the pressure very much so from the Los Angeles Dodgers, who just refused to lose down the stretch. And it's a credit to this race. I mean, it was just an incredible race. The history books have yet to kind of be written about this, but so I'm going to have to digest some of this information as the days go on. But I saw in the Chronicle today, they put out, you know, an article calling this potentially the best division race of all time or the best pennant race of all time. They showed some of the previous, you know, teams that have won 100 plus games each going down to the wire like this. And it looks like it is the number one of all time because nobody, the Dodgers, you know, winning 106 games, it's the most games a second place team has ever won. So the Giants just, I'm pinching myself. It's like I'm living in a dream a little bit that they were able to accomplish this. And they didn't get any help. Like the Padres blowing those games last week when they had a couple big leads. The Brewers blew a game when they had a big lead. The Dodgers just came back time and time again, putting pressure on the Giants to take care of business themselves. And they did. I believe they went 23-7 starting on September 1st. And they needed to go 23-7. I mean, that's a ridiculous record, and they needed each and every single one. I'm kind of baffled by how this whole thing played out. And they had a chance to clinch with a win on Saturday, and they couldn't get it done. So that was a little bit of torture. And even on Sunday, I mean, first of all, the game was scoreless going into the bottom of the third or the top of the third, you know. So it was a tight game early, but Logan Webb did appear to be locked in from the start. And then even when the Giants had, I think it was an 11-1 lead, it still got a little bit dicey in the top of the eighth inning, as dicey as an 11-1 game can get. But Logan Webb was the hero of game 162. 24-year-old Webb just, you know, completed his breakout regular season here. Unfortunately, he did get tagged with four earned runs ultimately, but he pitched so much better than that. I would really say the one earned run is really the one that made a difference. And the three that came in the eighth inning when he was just cruising and the Giants had this huge lead, it kind of was unfortunate because his ERA ends up over three. He had entered the game under two or under three. But anyway, I don't think anybody should really care about that. But Webb ends up going seven innings. And the important thing was that right out of the gates, he was good. And you could tell immediately that he had his good stuff. The sinker was, you know, it plays well at the bottom of the zone. You don't want to be really throwing that thing up. And it had just really good horizontal and vertical movement. So it's sinking vertically, but it was also darting in towards right-handed hitters. And he was commanding it. He was able to throw it, you know, on the outside part of the plate, wrapping around the strike zone and hitting that outside part of the plate. He was able to command it down in the zone. And he also had a good slider going, and he had a good changeup going. And he was just pounding the strike zone. He struck out the side in the top of the first, which I thought was super critical. The top of the Padres lineup is good and dangerous. You've got Trent Grisham. That guy has just kind of been a Giants killer in his young career. You've got Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado, and then Cronenworth, who burned the Giants on Saturday. So it is a dangerous top of the Padres lineup, and I just thought that the first inning was absolutely critical for the Giants, because if they had lost yesterday, the Dodgers won, so they would have tied. The Giants needed to win this game, and imagine if you get off to a bad start in the first inning. It makes everyone that much more anxious to, you know, perform, and there's pressure. There was already pressure on this team, and I think they looked like they were playing tight for the last week because they had to. I mean, they felt the Dodgers right behind them, and the Dodgers just would not lose. That is a lot of pressure on this Giants team, and ultimately they stepped up, and I just thought it was a huge key for Logan Webb getting through that first inning, and he did it in quick order. He struck out the side. He struck out Grisham, Tatis, and Machado, and then, you know, he set down the first nine that he faced. And then finally, in the bottom of the third, the Giants were able to get something going. They scored. It came down to two outs and the bases loaded. The inning started with a Tommy La Stella lineout. That was a theme early on. The Giants were hitting the ball hard, but not finding any kind of good fortune out of that. But then how about Wilmer Flores? A lot of people, this is one of those things where, you know, the people who were critical are now quiet about it, but would have been loud about it if it didn't work out. But Wilmer Flores was in the lineup instead of Darren Ruff, and he ends up having a huge game, starting off with a single in this third inning. LaMont Wade Jr. follows up with a walk. Actually, I'm getting a little bit backwards here. Oh, yeah. So anyway, I take that all back. What happened was Evan Longoria led off the inning with a flyout. Trent Grisham robbed a home run. So the Giants, that's what I'm saying. Trent Grisham was just a Giants killer. So actually, what happened was Logan Webb then hit a little, off the end of the bat flare single into the outfield. And it just started a huge game at the plate for Logan Webb, in addition to his contributions on the mound. So then there was a wild pitch that moved Webb to second. Tommy La Stella lined out sharply. So just another bad luck kind of moment. And then Wilmer Flores singled. And this is where, with two outs, Logan Webb was held up at third on a ball that I thought he could have scored on. But Ron Wotus said, ultimately, it actually wasn't that tough of a decision for him. Obviously, you'd love to kind of force the issue, but the fact that it was Logan Webb, and he said he was more important on the mound, he can't risk any kind of injury, and I respect that. I still think you should send him there with two outs, but it ends up, you know, working out beautifully for the Giants. Then LaMont Wade Jr. walks, setting up a bases-loaded situation for Buster Posey. And this is the biggest swing of the bat of the day, probably, for me. With two outs, Posey just ropes a single into left field, and it scores two runs. And Mike Kruko said, that'll take the stink off the fishing trip. And he always comes up with these hilarious lines. But what he meant was, like, it's going to relax them, and it did. They just to get off to a lead was so huge in this game. So Gerald Dempsey, Buster Posey with just some huge hits in game 162. He's slumped at times here for the Giants in the last couple months, but he has come up huge in some big spots, and he certainly did in game 162 yesterday. So the floodgates kind of opened from there. In the fourth inning, the Giants put up five runs. Chris Bryant led off with a walk. His swings looked much better, and his discipline was better. He was able to get on base via the walk a few times, and he had some good swings. Mike Yastrzemski followed that up with a walk. Evan Longoria was called out on strikes on a bad call. The umpire really hurt the Giants yesterday, but thankfully they were able to overcome it. It reminds me, of course, of the Giants in game 60 last season, getting hurt very much by the home plate umpire Rob Drake. So yesterday it was kind of a similar deal, but thankfully they were able to overcome it. Man, all the kind of missed calls seemed to hurt the Giants and help the Padres. And to me, it's just unacceptable in a game of this magnitude, and we absolutely have to transition to an automated strike zone as soon as possible You know, it's not going to happen in the playoffs, but next year I need to see that because this is just unacceptable. And it really did hurt the Giants yesterday. Thankfully, they overcame having two opponents. But anyway, Logan Webb then walked, and it was just a huge walk. He flipped his bat, as he should. Tommy La Stella had a huge hit. Wilmer Flores had a huge double down the left field line. Posey tacked on a single, 7-1 Giants. And the rest was kind of history. It did get a little dicey in the eighth, as I said, but the Giants' bullpen was able to ultimately come through. Harleen Garcia got a huge out against Frazier, and then Dominic Leon closed it out in the ninth. I don't think I even mentioned this. Logan Webb had a home run. I'm sorry, I didn't mention that yet. There was just obviously so much to talk about, but how about Logan Webb? Awesome game. I mean, the MVP of this game for sure. Two hits, a walk, and a home run. His first career home run, the first home run by a Giants pitcher all season. So Logan Webb, 24 years old, just came up so big, and that bodes very well for the Giants going into the postseason, which is going to start for them on Friday. So coming up next, we are going to preview what's to come for this Giants team that has won the division. They are National League West champions, and they get to sit back and watch the Dodgers have to play in a wild card game. And they very much deserve it and are going to enjoy it. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite flavor is raspberry. The Built Bar manages to taste like a candy bar, but come in with a healthy profile, which is really important to me. We're talking 17 to 18 grams of protein, just 130 to 180 calories, and most importantly, just 4 to 5 grams of sugar. So, you know, that is so important to me. I wouldn't be eating a protein bar that was actually a candy bar, but Built Bar very much is not. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, as promised, we are going to preview what's to come for the San Francisco Giants. This alone was just a huge accomplishment for them and one that will live forever no matter what happens in the playoffs. But we do at this point kind of shift our attention to what's going to happen next. And so what's going to happen next in Major League Baseball is that on Tuesday, the American League wildcard game is going to happen. That's between the Yankees and the Red Sox. I'm sure MLB and ESPN and all of them are thrilled about that matchup. Seriously, they are. And then on Wednesday, the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to be subjected to the one-game single-elimination wildcard game. And so we'll see what happens. Glad the Giants don't have to deal with that. The Dodgers do. It is going to be Max Scherzer on the mound against Adam Wainwright. And significantly, Max Muncy got hurt in game 162. Looked like a pretty gruesome elbow injury. He kind of got his elbow bent backwards, crashing into a runner, making it up the first base line. Muncy at first base, trying to kind of grab a throw, and his arm got caught. You know, his momentum going forward, the runner's momentum going back, and it just kind of bent his elbow in an ugly way, and he was in a ton of pain. And so I haven't seen the latest on Muncy, but I would expect that Muncy's going to be potentially unavailable for the rest of the postseason. And Clayton Kershaw, likely the same thing. He left his last start, which was, I think, on Friday or Saturday, with an elbow injury himself, elbow, forearm, that kind of area. So a tough break for the Dodgers, you know, but nobody's going to feel sorry for them, just like nobody feels sorry for the Giants losing their first baseman in Brandon Belt. So very possible that the Giants and Dodgers could square off in the division series and both teams would be missing their star first baseman. And so that would be just something of note. But it's either going to be the Dodgers or the Cardinals coming into San Francisco on Friday. And I've thought about this a lot, like which team would I rather face? And if you just want to win the dang thing. I think you'd obviously rather face the St. Louis Cardinals. I get it. They have Nolan Arenado. They have Paul Goldschmidt. You know, Adam Wainwright doing amazing things at age 40. But talent-wise, no disrespect to the Cardinals, but, you know, the Dodgers are like an all-time kind of team in terms of the talent that they have on that roster. It's just ridiculous. Every single night when you look at their lineup, you know, they've been hitting Cody Bellinger eighth. And in fact, he doesn't even start often when Gavin Lux is healthy. But you're talking like Will Smith and Cody Bellinger at the bottom of your lineup. It's just pretty ridiculous what that team is able to throw at you. And then talk about the starting rotation with Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler and Julio Urias. And when he was healthy, Clayton Kershaw as well. It's a gauntlet to go through that Dodgers team. But, you know, the Giants would be up for the task, I think, no matter who it is, because they have handled that Dodgers team about as well as anybody. They went 10-9 against them this year. It took some, you know, it wasn't easy by any means. And I think about the Tauchman game, the rough check swing game. Giants got swept, I think, twice by the Dodgers. So that would be a tough matchup, but, you know, it would be a great one from a, you know, national interest standpoint and even a local interest standpoint. I mean, these two teams have never met in the postseason, amazingly. And if they do, it's kind of unfortunate it would be in the first round. I think it would be more appropriate if they had to meet in the championship series in the league. It kind of doesn't make sense that a 107-win team and a 106-win team, you know, from the Dodgers' perspective, it's not really fair that they have to go to the wild card game, but I don't feel too bad for them. It's, you know, something the Giants could have had to deal with, and they wouldn't have felt sorry for the Giants. So it is what it is, and the Giants will just kind of sit back and watch that game and determine who they're and figure out, you know, based on who wins, who they're going to play. And yeah, so it'll be a best of five series. The first two games will be in San Francisco on Friday and Saturday. Then there will be a day off on Sunday, and then the next two will be in the road city, and that'll be on, I guess, Monday and Tuesday. And then if there's a game five, there's no guarantee to be a game four, so Monday at least, and then maybe Tuesday, and then a day off on Wednesday. Thursday would be back in San Francisco at game five. And then if the Giants were to advance past the division series, they would play either the Braves or the Brewers in the championship series in the league. And so to me, like, the easiest path to the World Series would be if the Cardinals find a way to win the wild card game. And then, you know, I personally think that the Braves are a team that the Giants could play better than the Brewers. I mean, the Brewers, what's so tough about them is they have ridiculous starting pitching with Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, and Freddie Peralta. It's just kind of a three-headed monster at the top of that rotation. Braves are good too. I mean, when you get to this point in the season and you're in the playoffs, everybody's good. And so that to me would be the easiest path. But if it's Dodgers, Brewers, then the Giants have proven they can beat those teams in the regular season as well. They, you know, they played the Dodgers tough. They played the Brewers tough. So I think no matter who it is, the Giants will have a good shot. And as I've said, their preparation is second to none. So I think they'll be ready no matter who it is they're going to face. So be sure to come back to Locked On Giants all throughout the month. Hopefully a deep run into the playoffs. We do these shows every single weekday. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to be, I can't remember exactly what we're going to be talking about. Something really good. And I actually am blanking on what it is, but I promise you, I think, we're going to talk about predicting the Giants playoff roster. That'll be at least one of the things we talk about tomorrow. So you're not going to want to miss that. Roster is going to have to be trimmed down a little bit. So we'll have to make some tough choices tomorrow. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, liking, commenting, subscribing on YouTube, all that good stuff. So thank you so much. I really hope you enjoyed today's show. Congratulations. The San Francisco Giants are division champs. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. You are now Locked On Giants.